You know, we observe Tanis Esther tomorrow, and we have Purim is going to be observed on Matzoi Shabbos and Sunday. So there are a number of people in our community who have asked, what are they allowed to do on Shabbos in preparation for Purim, and what are they not allowed to do? Are they allowed to wear their costumes to Shul on Matzoi Shabbos already, which you shouldn't be doing anyway, but let's say you're asking for your children, not for yourself? Or they ask, maybe are we allowed to, if I'm a Bal Kore, am I allowed to prepare on Shabbos in order to have the Kriya fluent by the time Matzoi Shabbos comes around? All kinds of questions like that. Am I allowed to bring my Megillah with me on Shabbos afternoon when I come to Daven Mincha Ma'ariv? These are all questions that are very important, and the source of the discussion comes from the Isser Hachana. We find that there's an Isser to be Mechen Mishabbos Lechol. One is not allowed to prepare anything that is not necessary for Shabbos itself. If you're doing it for some time period after Shabbos, that is not permissible. Where does that come from? The source of that halacha is a Mishnah in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, where the Mishnah says, Matzien es hamitos milele Shabbos l'Shabbos. If I have people that went to sleep on Friday night, and now we want to make the beds again because we want to use them on Shabbos, so the Gemara says you're allowed to make the beds again on Friday night or Shabbos morning in order that you should use them later on Shabbos. However, lo mi Shabbos l'matzai Shabbos. Let's say I take a Shabbos afternoon nap, and now the bed is all messy, and I'm not going to use the bed again, or no one's going to use the bed again before Shabbos is over, says the Gemara, you're not allowed to make the bed then, because it's only for the purpose of Matzoi Shabbos. The Brice over there in Kuf Yud Ches Amud Aleph picks up on this theme as well and says, there's another very common example, and that is the case of Ka'aros. Sha'achal Behem Arvis. Let's say I have a lot of company Friday night, and we use all the cutlery, and we use all the plates, and the forks, and the spoons, and the knives. Madichin Le'achal Behem Shachris. Now I had so much company Friday night, I don't have anything left to use for Shabbos morning. So the Gemara says you're allowed to clean all of those off, you're allowed to rinse them off, and use them once again Shabbos morning. Shachris, what if I have a lot of company during the morning meal, and now I need them left over for the Shabbos party, or for the Shalashudas, whatever it might be. So the Gemara says, Madichin Le'achal Behem B'tzaharayim. I'm allowed to wash all of those dishes, in order that I can now use them on Shabbos afternoon for Shalashudas. But Saharayim, let's say you have a meal in the afternoon, the Shabbos party, but then you want to wash them again in order to use them later on in the afternoon, the Gemara says that's fine as well. However, once it comes time for me to go to Mincha, and I'm no longer going to come home, and I'm not going to do anything any longer with these plates, says the Gemara, Shuv Eina Madichan. Now I'm no longer allowed to wash them. Why? Because it's clear that the only reason I'm washing them now is in order to be able to use them after Shabbos is over. So the Gemara assumes that this would be a problem, as Rashi explains there, because this is an issue of hachana mishabbos lechol. One is not allowed to do any activity which is in preparation for something that does not pertain directly to Shabbos. And therefore over here in this case, if you're going to wash the kelim or you're going to make the beds close to the end of Shabbos, it's clear, it's obvious, it's apparent to anyone that you're not doing it for Shabbos itself, you're doing it only for Matzoi Shabbos. This Gemara and this Mishnah in Shabbos is not only a Mishnah and Gemara and Shabbos, it's also codified in Shulchan Aruch, Lahalacha, and Hilchas Shabbos, both in Simon Shin Beis, as well as in Simon Chav. Shulchan Aruch writes, we have prohibition of being Mechen, Mei Shabbos Lechol. Although one is not allowed to prepare on Shabbos afternoon for Matzai Shabbos, Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, I believe, points out a very important point, and that is, sometimes on Shabbos afternoon, you're going to prepare a Shalashudas. You have a lot of people coming over to eat in your home on late Shabbos afternoon. And they're going to come, obviously, before Shkia. You're not allowed to wash after Shkia, so they're going to come before Shkia. But you have to serve them something. So you're going to make a salad, and you're going to make a tuna fish, you're going to make all kinds of things, and you're working hard on Shabbos afternoon to prepare it. But meanwhile, most of the food is going to be eaten after it's already Matzoi Shabbos, and most of the food's going to be eaten after the Shkia. So now it's not really Shabbos anymore. Says Reb Shlomo Zalman, that's not called being Mechen Mishabbos Lechol. Even though it's true, you might technically eat a lot of the food after Shabbos is over, but that's still in the context of Shalashudas, and therefore at the time that I was preparing it, Rav Shlomo Zalman says that would not be considered a violation of Hachana. There is a fascinating discussion that the Rishonim have. On face value, it seems to be a Machlokas of Rishonim, between the Rambam and the Ravid. What exactly is the prohibition of being Adiach Kelim b'Shabbos? Why am I not allowed to wash the plates and the spoons and the cups on Shabbos because I'm doing it for Chol? What's the prohibition there? So the Rambam says the problem is because of Tikkun Kelim. It seems the Rambam says that now the kli is incomplete. The kli cannot be used the way it is. Now if I wash it off from all the grease and all the dirt that was on it from the meal, so now I'm going to be Misakin Keli, and that's an Isra of Misakin Mana. That's what seemingly is the opinion of the Rambam. And the Ravid says, what are you talking about? If it was an Isra of Misakin Mana, then how are you allowed to wash the Friday night dishes for Shabbos morning? How are you allowed to wash the Shabbos morning dishes for Shabbos afternoon? It cannot be Misakin Mana. It must be something else. And therefore the Ravid says the problem here is it's a Tircha Shelo Letzorech. It's not a Malacha at all. This Kli is full. This Kli is ready to be used. There happens to be some dirt on it, so you wash it off. The only reason you're not allowed to wash Kelim on Shabbos for the purpose of Matzoi Shabbos or for the purpose of Sunday is because that's what we call a Tircha Shelo Letzorech. Otherwise, says the Ravid, if this was really a Malacha of Tikkun Mana, how would we be allowed to wash the Friday night dishes for Shabbos morning? Why would you be allowed to violate that Malacha? So that is what seems to be the Machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid. And many Achronim weigh in on this issue, and they say that no, the Rambam himself never really meant this. The Rambam himself also has to agree that the basic prohibition of washing the dishes is because it's a Tircha Shelo Letzorech and you're not really doing it for Shabbos. Why exactly the Rambam uses the terminology of Mesakein? Why does he say that? Why doesn't he just say like the Ravid says? That's a good question, but basically it's clear that the Isser of Hachana is because we don't want you to be doing something else other than for the purposes of Shabbos, because that will be a Tircha Shelo Letzorech. You're spending your time on Shabbos for a purpose that is not Shabbos related, but rather for something that is totally disconnected from Shabbos itself. Now, the Achronim write very clearly, the Magen Avram and the Mishneh Berurah follows in the opinion of the Magen Avram that when you're allowed to wash, let's say, the dishes on Shabbos morning in order to use them Shabbos afternoon, so we don't say that you have to start counting how many spoons do I need and how many forks do I need and how many cups, and you're only allowed to wash those and the rest you leave. No, once you have a heter to start washing because you need some of the dishes, you're allowed to go ahead and wash everything, even though you know that you're not going to have 25, 30 guests for Shalosh Shudas. Still, you're allowed to do it because once that's a heter, so we assume it's mater everything that is in the sink. We're mater all the kelim that you used on Shabbos. Not only do we assume there's a prohibition of hachana from Shabbos to Chol, from Shabbos to weekday, but we also assume that there is a prohibition of hachana from Yom Tov to Chol. So if you have, let's say Yom Tov falls out on Tuesday afternoon, you're not allowed to do any activities which are going to be a hachana, which are going to be a preparation for the next day, which is no longer going to be Yom Tov. And not only do we say that you're not allowed to be mechen from Shabbos to Chol and from Yom Tov to Chol, but even from Yom Tov Rishon, even from the first day of Yom Tov, for Yom Tov Sheni, also the Shulchan Aruch says one is not allowed to be mechen because, as we know, Yom Tov Rishon is real daraisa, so Yom Tov Sheni is only midrabanan, kechol shavu rabanan, it's like it doesn't exist at all. As far as the Torah is concerned, you don't have Yom Tov on that second day at all, and therefore we assume in Shulchan Aruch that one would not be allowed to do any hachana, not only from Yom Tov to weekday, but also from Yom Tov to the second day of Yom Tov. This even applies, the Shulchan Aruch extends it also, in Siman Tavkuf Gimel, the Shulchan Aruch writes, it even applies and extends as well to Rosh Hashanah. As we know, the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah in some way is called the Yom HaArichta, it's called one long day, it's not the same as every other Yom Tov Sheni, in some ways, in some respects, but yet the Shulchan Aruch says you're not allowed to be Mechen from the first day Rosh Hashanah for the second day Rosh Hashanah, because again, that second day Rosh Hashanah is not Midaraisa. And not only do we assume that you're not allowed to be Mechen from Shabbos to Chol, from Yom Tov to Chol, from one day of Yom Tov to the other, from Rosh Hashanah to a second day Rosh Hashanah, but also we assume you cannot be Mechen from a Kedusha Chamura to a Kedusha Kala. For example, says the Gemara, let's say I have Shabbos, and Yom Tov is going to come in on Matzoi Shabbos. So Pesach starts on Matzoi Shabbos. Am I allowed to get things ready on Shabbos afternoon? Because I know that Pesach is coming. It's not a day of weekday, it's not Chol, but it's not the same level, the same elevated experience as Shabbos itself. So over here, once again, we assume in Shulchan Aruch that you're not only prohibited from doing any hachana for weekday, but you're not even allowed to do any hachana for something which is on a lower level, which includes Yom Tov as opposed to Shabbos. So that would be a prohibition as well. The Mishneh Berurah writes that based on that assumption that you're not allowed to be mechen from Shabbos to Chol, a very common example that he mentions is, let's say you have a case where we have a Shabbos, and it's going to be the Shabbos before Pesach. So we laid in the Sefer Torah. The first day of Pesach is going to be a laning that's nowhere near the Shabbos laning that we just laned. What are we up to now? By Shabbos HaGadol, we're going to be up to Parshas Tzav. Is that what we normally lane then? Tzav Shmini, somewhere around there. First day of Pesach, we read from where? Nowhere around there, I don't believe. What? Now, doesn't the Gemara give a simon? Meshach Tura, Kaddish Bekaspa, Pesel Madbra. You have to know what the simon means. I don't know. But the Gemara gives some sort of simon. Mishchu Kechulachem. That's the first day of Pesach. Meshach Tura is Mishchu Kechulachem. That's the first day. What parsha is that in? Not really sure. But I don't think it's anywhere near Tzav Rishmini. It's certainly not in Vayikra. So I don't want to have to come the first day of Pesach and start rolling the Sefer Torah and catch everybody up and waste time then. Why not on Shabbos afternoon when you have nothing to do anyway? Why don't we just go ahead and roll the Sefer Torah so we'll be all ready for tomorrow? Says the Mishnah Berurah, absolutely not, because that would be Hachana from Shabbos to weekday, and that's not permissible at all. Not only that, we also assume that one is not allowed to do any Hachana from Chol HaMoed to Chol either, which is surprising to people, but the Shulchan Aruch writes, you're not allowed to do any kind of preparation from Chol HaMoed for weekday. Now, what about the Rishonim and Achronim have an interesting discussion, at least I find it interesting. What about if I'm doing Malacha on Chol HaMoed for the purpose of Yom Tov? So what would you say then? That's an upgrade. Of course you're allowed to do that, right? You're doing Hachana from Chol HaMoed, which every woman cooks on Chol HaMoed. You can't cook a whole Yom Tov of Pesach from Erev Pesach. You're not going to cook everything for the whole week. As the week goes along on Chol HaMoed, the women cook for Pesach, usually for the second days of Pesach. They'll do some of the cooking on the duration during the days of Chol HaMoed. So certainly for Yom Tov, you're allowed to do that. The question is, what about for Yom Tov Sheni? So that's where it gets complicated. What about doing Malacha on Chol HaMoed for Yom Tov Sheni of Pesach? What would you say about that? What's the difference? So what do you say? Oh, Chol HaMoed is 2 days in Tosis and Moed Kadin, whether or not doing Malacha on Chol HaMoed is an Issa D'Oraisa. So if you say that Chol HaMoed is an Issa D'Oraisa to do Malacha, the Prima Gadam asked the Kasha, how can we be allowed to do Malacha on Chol HaMoed, which is an Issa D'Oraisa, for Yom Tov Sheni, which is only Midrabanan? How are you allowed to do that? Prima Gadam says, I can't understand it. How can we allow such a thing? And the Tur talks about the issue a little bit as well. The Tur writes in Ilchas Chol HaMoed, Erev Yom Tov HaAchron, on the last day of Chol HaMoed, of Sukkot or Pesach, he says, all the marketplaces are open and we sell fruits and we do commerce and we have industries running. Why? Because everybody has to get ready for Yom Tov and we have to make sure that we can buy all the fruits and the produce that we need, and therefore the Tur writes you're allowed to do that. Says the Tur, well, some say that you got to be careful. If you know that, let's say on Yom Tov Sheni at the end of Pesach, you're going to have 35 guests in the house, let's say last year. My wife invited over our whole extended family for the last day of Pesach, let's say, right? So you have Yom Tov Sheni. So when's she going to cook everything? On Erev Yom Tov or during Chol HaMoed. You know you're not really cooking it for the first day of Yom Tov. It's just going to be me and my family. We don't need 35 pieces of chicken. We don't need all this meat for them. We need it all for when everybody's coming the last day. So the Torah writes, well, how are you going to go ahead and do all that malach on Chol HaMoed for the purposes of Yom Tov Sheni? After all, isn't Yom Tov Sheni considered something which is only Midrabanan? And according to one day in Tosis, we assume doing Malach on Chol HaMoed would be an Issa D'Oraisa. So this is a major question. Says the Prima Gadim, well, we would only allow you to do Malach HaDirabanan. On Chol HaMoed, we would only allow you to do Malach HaDirabanan. And that's why, says the Prima Gadim, the Torah only quotes the opinions that you're allowed to have the marketplaces open. That's not an Issa D'Oraisa, that's just Mecha HaMemkar, an Issa D'Rabanan. So we allow an Issa D'Rabanan to be violated on Chol HaMoed for the purposes of Yom Tov Sheni, which is Midrabanan. But we never allow you, says the Prima Gadim, to do any cooking on Chol HaMoed. Can you imagine? You're going to go home tonight, tell your wife, sorry, this year, Pesach, you got to get everything ready before Yom Tov starts, for the whole duration of Yom Tov. Why? Because you're not allowed to do Malach on Chol HaMoed for the purposes of Yom Tov Sheni. Ach and vey, can you imagine? What are we going to do if the Prima Gadim is correct? So that has to be within reason. So that's why the Torah writes, you could do a harama. He says, if you need some food for the first day of Yom Tov, so then you're allowed to make some more anyway. But the Prima Gadim argues, he says, what are you talking about? Well, you don't play around with an Issa D'Oraisa. We don't allow you just to play games here. Issa D'Oraisa of doing Malach on Chol HaMoed. Therefore, he says, I cannot understand why we would ever allow you to violate an Issa D'Oraisa of Bishul on Chol HaMoed. Now, that's a major problem. However, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes very clearly that we do not assume that way. And this is what the Mishnah Berurah quotes in the name of Rabbi Kiva Eger as well. This is not the practice at all to follow this psak of the Prima Gadim. We assume that, no, you're allowed to do Malacha on Chol HaMoed for Yom Tov, and you're also allowed to do it for Yom Tov Sheni. Ah, you have the Kasha, what's the story? Ah, Chol HaMoed is an Isser Malacha D'Oraisa. How can you do Malacha D'Oraisa for a day which is only a Yom Tov Midrabanan? I don't know, says Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, whatever it is, Puk Chazima Amadvar, look around, this is what everybody does, and it must be right, and there's nothing wrong with it. You're allowed to cook even on Chol HaMoed, not only for Yom Tov, but also for Yom Tov Sheni as well. A question that comes up once in a while is, what about preparing, not for Shabbos, for Chol, but to prepare this Shabbos for the following Shabbos? So, when do you have such a case? For example, I want to fold my talis now, not because I'm going to use the talis on Sunday morning, but because I want to use the talis next Shabbos. So is that considered to be a violation of Hachana as well, or do you say no? Hachana is only when you're doing for something that is on a lower level. For example, I'm preparing from Shabbos for Chol, or I'm preparing from Shabbos to Yom Tov, or I'm preparing from one day Rosh Hashanah to the second, or from Chol HaMoed to weekday. But what about over here where I'm preparing from one Shabbos to the following Shabbos? I'm folding up my talis not for tomorrow morning. I have a weekday talis, I have a Shabbos talis. Am I allowed to fold up the talis now in order to be able to use it nicely next Shabbos? And that should be no prohibition of Hachana at all. So this is an interesting question, and the Tosefta seems to address it. The Tosefta Masechta Shabbos writes as follows: Madichin kelim mishabbos laosa haShabbos. I'm allowed to wash my utensils this Shabbos in order to use them this Shabbos. However, says the Tosefta, avalo mishabbos zu leShabbos acheres. I'm not allowed to do it from this Shabbos in order to use it the next Shabbos. So let's say many of us have separate Shabbos dishes than weekday dishes. So when I'm cleaning my dishes on Shabbos, I don't want to use them on Sunday morning. I want to clean them now in order to use them next Shabbos. Am I allowed to do that? Am I allowed to fold my talis this Shabbos in order to use it not Sunday morning, but rather the next Shabbos? Says the Tosefta, seemingly one is not allowed to do that. This is a point that's made in the Shaar HaTzion and the Mishneh Berurah. And my father said Rav Soloveitchik was machmer like this Tosefta. He felt you're not allowed to be meichin from one Shabbos to the next. However, Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that on Yom Kippur night, when we wear a talis, which is the only time of the year when we wear a talis at night generally, so he said on Yom Kippur night, you're allowed to fold the talis to use again Yom Kippur morning. That certainly is permissible. The only prohibition here is to fold the talis for the following Shabbos, because you're not going to use it again today. But if you're going to use the talis again today, meaning Yom Kippur night to Yom Kippur morning, my father writes in the name of Rav Soloveitchik that that would be permissible. So this is an interesting question. It's an interesting issue. But the simple understanding of the Tosefta is that we would not be allowed to do Hachana not only from Shabbos to weekday, but also from Shabbos to the next Shabbos would not be permissible. What are some of the examples, what are some of the exceptions to the rule where we would assume that you're allowed to wash all the dishes even though you don't need them at all? Again, we started off, the source, the basis of this whole halacha of Hachana on Shabbos is from the Mishnah Masecha Shabbos that says you're not allowed to wash kelim unless you need them on Shabbos. So what are some examples where that might not apply? So the examples in our contemporary society would be as follows. Let's say we have a big school, a yeshiva, where we're serving hundreds of students. So you're going to have hundreds of plates piling up in the sink, and it's probably going to be very dirty, it's probably unsanitary, it's probably filthy, and there's going to have a foul odor, you're going to have flies flying all over the place because you have so much dirt that piles up from everybody's meal. So in a case like that, we would assume you're allowed to wash all of those on Shabbos. Why? Because you're not washing them in order to be mechin, in order to prepare for after Shabbos. You're doing it because the experience on Shabbos itself is not pleasant. Because right now, if you would walk into the kitchen of the yeshiva, of the dormitory, we would assume there's going to be flies all over the place, it's going to be smelly, it's going to be dirty. So in a case like that, you're not doing it for later, you're doing it for right now. Or let's say the Achronim discuss a case when you have a hospital. So the hospital usually goes above and beyond to make sure that the sanitary conditions are up to par and that nobody can ever get an infection. So immediately when something's dirty, they throw it in, they make sure it's washed right away. They don't want to have things lying around. So again, the reason why I'm washing that is not because I want it to be available right away when I'm ready for the next meal on Matzah Shabbos, but rather I want to wash it right away to make sure that right now the patients who are experiencing Shabbos in the hospital right now will not get an infection, will not have any unsanitary conditions, and therefore we assume that would certainly be permissible. What about in a private home? So it depends what kind of person you are. Let's say for me, I don't enjoy having dirty dishes around in my sink piling up. It makes me very uncomfortable. It makes me not enjoy the way my kitchen looks. Even though I shouldn't be spending time in the kitchen, but I do. So therefore we assume that if you're a person like me who really it bothers them, and any other day of the week it would bother me as well, so then I'm allowed to wash the dishes on Shabbos as well. Why? Because I'm not doing it for the purposes of Hachana for next Shabbos or Hachana for Chol. I'm doing it for the purposes of enjoying my Shabbos right now, and therefore we assume anything that's being done in order to enjoy the Shabbos experience itself would be absolutely permissible. However, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, what if you have a situation where you have another sink somewhere else and you pile them up in some other room and it's not going to be seen, it's out of sight, out of mind. Let's say sometimes, I know my wife serves certain things and you have no room in the sink, so she'll put sometimes, it might be a mistake sometimes to do it because you find out later that wasn't such a good idea, but let's say you put some big serving trays into the oven. Anyone else do that? Yeah. Right? Sometimes you put some serving trays into the oven, after Shabbos you'll get to it. Says Rav Moshe, in a case like that, it's not in your way, you're not using the oven for anything else, When you look around your kitchen, there's no mess at all. In a case like that, you're not allowed to wash those for no good reason. Says Rav Moshe, leave them in the oven till after Shabbos. Otherwise, you will violate the Yisra of Hachana. Someone did mention to me, once we talk about that case, someone did mention to me that, let's say, his wife sometimes takes the gravy, the chicken platter that has the gravy on it, or the meat platter that has gravy left on it, and puts it in the oven. And he mentioned to me the fact that there's a pilot light in the oven, and sometimes the oven does get hot, and it could cook up. I don't think it could really get too hot. I don't know. But he told me that he felt it once, and it was hot. Not sure. Maybe he has a fancy oven, or a cheap oven. I don't know which way it works. But he told me that his wife's gravy platter that she put into the oven to save till after Shabbos, when he took it out after Shabbos, he burnt his hands. So he said maybe that was an Isser of Bishul to Shabbos without even realizing it, because he put the gravy tray into the oven and now the liquid got cooked up. Again, it's a question about, number one, Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, generally we assume, so we try to stay away from it. I said, I don't think you have to kill yourself over the fact maybe it got heated up. First of all, it probably didn't really get cooked. Second of all, we assume Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, even though we're normally machmir by Davar Lach, but still, how far are we going to take it to the point to say that he's mamish, he's chai v'chatas? I'm not so sure about that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would then be allowed to fold it?
Meaning it upsets you for Shabbos itself. Yeah, so you're certainly allowed to fold it. So you're certainly allowed to fold it the other way, which is what I do. I can't bring myself to crumple up my talus and just do it. So you can fold it a different way, not on the creases. And even that, I spoke once with my father. I later mentioned it to Rav Asher Weiss as well when he was with us recently. So, I forgot, I once spoke about this here in the shul, and someone mentioned to me, I think Dr. Solomon, I'm not sure, but I think Dr. Solomon mentioned to me that his father was in the textile business. Was it him, or was it someone else here?
His father.
Oh, so I think it was him. Someone who sat over there before in Shanim Kadmonias. So, I think Dr. Solomon said, the whole Gemara talked about not folding clothing on Shabbos, and it says because it's something like Libun. So what does it mean, Libun? It means you're making the clothing something that they weren't before. So what are you doing? So that's not really the case nowadays. When you fold up a talus, what's happening? You're folding it on the creases that it was before, and nothing's changing from the status that it had before. So this is a general question. What exactly does the Gemara mean? And when I learned that sugya with my father many years ago, he said to me, I don't really understand the metzias that the Gemara is describing. The Gemara says it depends if it's new clothing, old clothing, depends if it's light-colored clothing or dark-colored clothing, one's mutter, one's usher, depends how you do it. What's the difference? All of our clothing seems to be the same. If you fold it, it will fold. If you don't fold it, it won't fold. So I mentioned this in the shiur. Dr. Solomon came over to me afterwards and said his father was in the textile business, and he had old materials from what they used to make clothing from. And he said the Gemara makes absolute sense based on the metzias of the way clothing used to be made. He said the way clothing material used to be made, they were very thick, or whatever the texture was, but he said basically when you folded it, it actually made a new crease. Not like today. When you fold the talus on the old creases, it's still going to be on the old creases. Just because you fold it a little bit differently, it's not going to be making anything new to the beged from what it was before. And it's not going to change the status. However, he said, if you have those old clothing, every crease that was done differently from the way it was before is actually going to make the clothing look different. And he said, based on that metzias, the Gemara makes a lot of sense. Explained also why white and dark is different. I don't remember exactly what he said, but I shared that information with my father and Rav Asher Weiss, and they both had a lot of hana. Rav Asher Weiss said to me, I always wondered, and I figured it must be something from the metzias of what it used to be, and nowadays we know that not to be true. It's hard to just throw out a whole din that the Shulchan Aruch describes, but because that's not really the metzias nowadays, we have a lot more room to be mekel. So certainly when it comes to the talus, you're certainly allowed to fold it the other way. Some even say you're allowed to fold it the right way, because the whole metzias that we're dealing with doesn't really apply to what the Shulchan Aruch was originally describing and what the Gemara was talking about. Rav Moshe has another Chiddush Halacha L'maisa. I know we didn't get to Purim yet. We'll get to that in the end. But Rav Moshe has another Chiddush Halacha L'maisa, and that's a very relevant one. Let's say every day of the week, when I wash my dishes, when I want to clear out the sink, I don't want to mess in my kitchen, so I don't wash the dishes, I put it in the dishwasher. So says Rav Moshe, on Shabbos, I want to do the very same. I want to have an empty kitchen. I don't want to have things all over the place. I want to put in the dishwasher. Obviously, I'm not going to turn on the button on Shabbos. And I'm also not going to have the nachris turn it on Shabbos. That's an Isra of Hashma's call. Or Amir La'akum. Nowadays, people say you have the silent dishwasher, so they want to have the non-Jew in their house turn on the dishwasher on Shabbos. First of all, they're not so silent. I want to hear some of them. So they're not so silent. And second of all, even if they are, it's an Isir Amir La'akum. We're not allowed to have people doing malacha for us on Shabbos. So that's just by the wayside. So over here, let's say I don't want to do any malacha. I don't want to actually run the cycle in the dishwasher. I just want to put everything in there so that after Shabbos I can turn it on. And right now I won't have the mess. Says R' Moshe, absolutely permissible. Nothing wrong at all. How am I going to open the door of the dishwasher? Isn't it mukta? Isn't it mukta? What? So R' Moshe writes, no, not a problem at all. Why? Because this is what we call a kli shemalachta le'iser. And what's the halacha when you have a kli shemalachta le'iser? You're allowed to move it letzarach gufo, letzarach mekomo. Says R' Moshe, ein lecha tzarach mekomo gadol mizeh. I'm trying to load up the dishwasher, get everything out of the way, and there's a door in the way. So you're allowed to open up the dishwasher door and let it hang down in order to fill up the dishwasher. What about when you're finished loading it up? Are you allowed to close it now? Says R' Moshe, once again, it's tzarach mekomo. Why? I don't want to bump into it every time I walk around my kitchen. So number one, it was tzarach mekomo to open it up. Number two, it's tzarach mekomo to close it up again because I don't want my children tripping over it. I don't want to hurt myself. So therefore, we assume you're allowed to open it and to close it as well on Shabbos. And the reason you're allowed to do that is because the whole reason for filling up the dishwasher now is because I want to have the mess away from my kitchen. Now, one thing to make note of is the fact that very often when we load up a dishwasher, not sure, but generally when I do, it's not that often, but once in a while when I do load a dishwasher, I don't know, I was raised that you rinse off the plate before you put in the dishwasher. Nowadays we have such fancy dishwashers that they're able to get the dirt off even when you have the plates that are filthy. But the way I was raised with the old dishwashers, you have to rinse it off a little before you put it in. So that's what I was wondering. That's what I was talking to my father about this week. When you have the rinsing off that you do before you put in the dishwasher, why are you rinsing it off? Why are you rinsing it off? To make it easier to clean after Shabbos. You're not doing that because it bothers you right now. Right now you couldn't care less. All you want is that your kitchen shouldn't look dirty. So all you want is that you should take the various items, utensils, put them all into the dishwasher. That should be the only heter. What heter do you have to go ahead and rinse them off now? That's not Litzarach Shabbos. It's just to make your job easier on Matzah Shabbos. What? Oh, so if it's going to smell, so then that's the other consideration. Well, let's say it's not going to smell. You have the plates, you know, you don't really have any greasy things on there, but you generally like to wash them off. So are you allowed to do that? Or do you assume maybe that's a problem of Achana? So that's what I asked my father. So he said right away, no problem at all doing that either. He later changed his mind, but he said right away he thinks it's not a problem. Why? Because he mentioned that the Mishnah Berurah writes in Tafresh Samach Zayin, in the name of the Chayyadam, that when you're doing something which is just such a slight hachana, and it's just a tchilas hachana, I'm not really doing the process itself. Let's say, for example, you have a case like this. Let's say it's Yom Tov Rishon, so you're not allowed to do malach on Yom Tov Rishon for Yom Tov Sheni. That's hachana. What if I want to do something, let's say, I don't want to cook the food on Yom Tov Rishon for Yom Tov Sheni. We all know that's usher. But I want to take something out of the freezer in order that tonight I should be able to cook it for Yom Tov Sheni. So what would you say? Is that called hachana? Is that really called hachana? I want to take a challah out of the freezer on Yom Tov, the first day of Yom Tov in the afternoon. I want to do it in order that later on I'll be able to have it ready for the meal. I'm not doing anything else. All I do is take it out of the freezer, and then all the cooking is going to happen later when I'm allowed to cook on Yom Tov Sheni. So there says the Chayyadim, come on, that's just a tchilas hachana. That's not a real hachana. You're not really doing anything. Most of the malacha, most of the hachana is going to happen later when you actually cook it. Right now, all you're doing is just taking it out of the freezer, so that's not considered a problem at all. And the Chayyadim brings a couple of rayas from Shas, different places where he proves that this is the case, and that's the way the Mishnah Berurah paskins. So my father thought over here as well. The real hachana would be if I would go ahead and wash the dishes. So I'm not really washing the dishes. All I'm doing is rinsing the plate a drop and now putting it into the dishwasher. So my father thought that the Chayyadim would say in such a case that that's permissible because there's nothing wrong with that at all. That's just the tchilas hachana. I'm not doing the ikar malacha. Not really doing anything substantive. All I'm doing is washing off a drop. That's like taking something out of the freezer. And the ikar, part of what I'm trying to do, is going to happen later on when I'm allowed to do that malacha. So I later on looked up the Chayyadim. And I learned through all the rayas that the Chayyadim has. And what's clear from the Chayyadim is the only time he allows this is when we're talking about a shasat chak or a makam mitzvah. We don't stop allow this for no reason. Chayyadim says, let's say you want to take out the things from the freezer in order that later on for Yom Tov Sheni they should be defrosted, that I'll be able to cook them right away and have the meal. So then the Chayyadim brings rayas why it's mutter. But stam to just do it because you want to make your life easier on Matzai Shabbos, the Chayyadim wouldn't agree. So I called my father today, told him I read through the Chayyadim, I learned through all the rayas, and it seems he doesn't agree. So he said, okay, maskim. So he agreed that he doesn't think this would be allowed. To go ahead and load the dishwasher is mutter. To open the dishwasher door and close it is mutter, like Rav Moshe says. But to also go ahead and rinse off the plates as you're putting them in, just because you want your job on Motzei Shabbos to be easier, that might not be permissible, unless you have the consideration of you don't want your house to smell from all the grease sitting around the rest of the day.
But if you're not going to rinse it off, you probably not going to put it in the dishwasher. Then it's going to be out and it's going to be disgusting. So therefore, you're rinsing it off in order to put it in the dishwasher so you don't see it.
Meaning you're saying no person is going to put it in the dishwasher, then take it out again, Matzoi Shabbos, and put it back in. Okay, so if that's the consideration, so then it's Letzorach Shabbos itself. That's a good one. Okay. But that has nothing to do with the Chayyada. That's just a good point. Okay. So similarly, the Shulchan Aruch writes, what about being Mesader? What time is it already? 10 minutes left? Wow. What happened here? We didn't get to Purim yet. So we might have to talk about this next week after Purim. So anyway, the Shulchan Aruch writes as well that, let's say it bothers you to walk into a room and you see the beds aren't made. Even though no one's going to use the beds on Shabbos, we already took our Shabbos naps, but it bothers me. I want to have a messy house. Shulchan Aruch writes, you're allowed to make all the beds because we don't want to have a house that's disorganized. We want to have a house that's neat and clean and orderly. That's the house that I'm used to, and therefore the Shulchan Aruch writes, it would be absolutely permissible to do that as well, because that's considered a Tzarech Shabbos. Let's say the Achronim talk about, let's say you have Tisha B'Av is Chalios B'Matzoi Shabbos. So I'm going to eat a lot of food on Shabbos afternoon, more so than I otherwise would, because I don't want to have any trouble on Tisha B'Av, which is going to be right after Shabbos. So the Achronim say there's nothing wrong with that at all. Why? Because I'm having the Hanah on Shabbos itself. Come on, who doesn't like to eat? We all like to eat. It happens to be I'm eating more because there's Tisha B'Av coming up and it's going to be right after Shabbos is over. But right now on Shabbos itself, I'm having Onik Shabbos from the fact that I'm enjoying the meals that I'm eating. I'm enjoying the food that's being consumed. So anything that's the Tzorech Shabbos itself would be absolutely permissible. Rav Moshe talks about the following case. It's an interesting story. He says, let's say I want to put my kids in pajamas at the end of Shabbos. So Shabbos is over now, 5:30, 6 o'clock. So my kids only go to sleep at 7:30, 8 o'clock. So what right do I have to put my kids in pajamas at 5:30? Just because that's what I do every day of the week? But right now that's hachana. The only reason I'm putting them in pajamas is to put them to sleep at 8. So really I can get them into pajamas after Shabbos is over. So I asked Rav Moshe, do I have a right to get the kids into pajamas at 5:30? Because that's the normal thing, that routine, that's what they're used to. Says Rav Moshe, of course you're allowed to. Why? Why isn't that hachana? So Rav Moshe writes, I don't know about you, but in my house we have like happy hour between 5:30 and 7 o'clock. Things get a little crazy. So that's part of the routine. You get the kids into pajamas, they know it's time to start unwinding and to be crazy and then to get it out of the system. And then by 8 o'clock, after they're finished with all the 2 hours of craziness, then we'll get them to bed. Says Rav Moshe, if you're going to wait till 7 o'clock to get them into pajamas, the whole process is going to be delayed. You're only going to be able to get them to bed at 7 o'clock, at 8 o'clock, at 9 o'clock, and then your whole night is going to be thrown off. Says Rav Moshe, this is not hachana. This is something that I need for Shabbos right now. I'm getting them into pajamas not so that I should be able to put them to sleep at 8 o'clock, but rather that right now happy hour should start. That's what Rav Moshe says. So that's what Rav Moshe writes. It would be permissible. Nobody knows what I'm talking about? Am I the only one? Thank you. Well, it gives me very great comfort. Let's say you have, for example, high school kids ask it all the time. I have a Gemara test on Sunday. Am I allowed to study on Shabbos? Or you have, I don't know, you're in my position. I give shiurim all week. I'm very nervous. Shabbos is actually my lightest day of the week, which is great, contrary to many other Rabbanim. So because we have 5 Rabbanim in the shul here, so I very rarely give a shiur on Shabbos. I just give a drasha. So Shabbos is very nice for me. And Shabbos I use a lot of the time to prepare for during the week. So am I allowed to prepare my shiurim on Shabbos when I'm really not doing it for Shabbos? I'm doing it for chol. Or you take, for example, you have a bar mitzvah boy who's trying to prepare the sedra for his bar mitzvah parsha, but it's not right now. It's not something that he needs. Now it's something he needs for 3 months from now. Is he allowed to do that on Shabbos? Or you have a bal kori who wants to try to get himself ready for Monday and Thursday. He's not laning on Shabbos. He's laning during the week. So would we allow that? So it's clear in Shulchan Aruch that is absolutely permissible, because Talmud Torah is Talmud Torah. There's nothing wrong with learning. Even if your learning is for the purpose of doing it for after Shabbos, even if you want to pass your exam on Sunday, when you're learning, and that's something that we would say is absolutely permissible. And based on that, the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa writes, in the name of Reb Shlomo Zalman, when you have a situation like ours, where Purim falls out on Matzoi Shabbos, and you're going to be one of the people that's designated to lay in the Megillah, so we assume you are allowed to go ahead and prepare for that on Shabbos, because Talmud Torah is Talmud Torah. There's nothing wrong with that at all. However, the Mishnah Berurah says, even when you're doing such a thing, you should try to go out of your way and not say, I'm doing this because I have to lay in a Matzoi Shabbos, which is going to be Purim, and I'm not ready for it yet. Don't say it outright. Mishnah Berurah quotes the Sefer Hasidim, just learn the Torah, just lay in the Megillah, Don't try to say anything, why you're doing it, or how you're doing it, or what's the reason for it. Right now you're just learning Torah. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah suggests. Whenever a person is doing something like that, they shouldn't say exactly why it is that they're doing it. They should just do whatever they have to do. There is a discussion that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has in one of the other Svarim about, it's not in the Mincha Shlomo, it's in a different Sefer from one of his Talmidim, about the following. The Shulchan Aruch talks about in Simon Shin Yud Ches, I believe, in Hilchas Bishul, the Shulchan Aruch discusses if a person was Avar Ubishal Shabbos. What if a person goes ahead, either B'shogik or B'mezid, and cooks on Shabbos, something you were not allowed to do. So am I allowed to go ahead and eat that food, or are others allowed to benefit from the food? It's a machlokas remain, Rabbi Huda. How far do we knas you? How far do we asa the food? Do we say it's only asa for you? Do we say it's asa for everybody? Do we say it's asa even after Shabbos is over? This is a big question. How exactly do we paskin? The Rishonim disagree about it. And it's basically a machlokas atanai, and both in Ksubas and Baba Kama, the Gemara has the discussion. So the Ramah says this applies not only to Bishul, as described in the Gemara, Ksubas and Baba Kama, but it also applies to all the malachas. If a person violates a malacha, they are not allowed to have hana from that malacha. The question is, how do we knas you? How far does it go? Do we knas everybody or just the person who violated the malacha? But generally, the Ramah says this applies outside of the malacha of Bishul as well. It doesn't just only apply to Simon Shin Yud Ches and Ilchas Bishul. It applies to the other and various malachas on Shabbos. And the Ramah writes, it even applies to Isurim Derabanan on Shabbos as well. So Rav Shlomo Zalman has the suffix, what would you say with regard to somebody who violates the Isra of Hachana on Shabbos? Let's say I go ahead and I wash the plates, and I wasn't supposed to. It's not bothering anyone. I just said, oh, I'm going to go ahead and do it. Then I say later on, why did I do that? That was violating the Isra Hachana. Am I allowed to go ahead and actually use them now? Do you say that they're Aser Bahana, just like by other Isurim? Or do you say, no, maybe Isra of Hachana is an Isra Kal on Shabbos. It's only an Isra Derabanan. And it's not even on the same level as the fancy Isurim Derabanan. It's a lower level Isur Derabanan. Maybe I should say there's no knas when it comes to the Isur of Hachana B'Shabbos. And Rav Shlomo Zalman comes to the conclusion, as recorded by one of his Talmidim, that when it comes to the Isur of Hachana, we do not knas a person. My father thought this was very mistaber when I told him today. Again, not clear what the rayas are, not clear how exactly to prove it, but we assume that generally the Isur of Hachana is considered to be an Isur Kal, as seriously as we take it. In the grand scheme of Hilchos Shabbos, it's considered to be on the lower levels of Isuri Shabbos, and therefore, if a person inadvertently or with intent violates the Isur of Hachana, we would assume that we don't knas you, and we don't say that that would be Usur. One other note to be aware of when we talk about the Isur of Hachana is if there's ever going to be something that will get spoiled or ruined, so then certainly the Isur of Hachana does not apply. So for example, you're going to leave the milk out. Let's say my kids ate breakfast Shabbos morning. Now you're going to leave the milk out because it's an Isra Hachana until Sunday morning. What do you mean? The milk is going to get spoiled. You can't leave it out of the fridge. The orange juice, you can't leave it out of the fridge. So in a case like that, we assume, based on a Gemara Masechet Shabbos, Kuf Yud Zayin, it's a Gemara in a number of places as well, if you're afraid something is going to get ruined, you're allowed to do an activity on Shabbos in order to save it from getting ruined. Let's say, for example, the Gemara in Shabbos Membeis talks about the case where you find an egg on the floor, a raw egg. If you leave it there, someone's going to step on it and ruin it. You won't be able to use it after Shabbos. Happens to be it's muktzah on Shabbos for whatever reason, so I can't use it right now. It's a raw egg. So the Gemara gives the case and says you're allowed to cover it with a kli. I'm allowed to cover it mim lechapis alav es akli. Why am I allowed to do that? Isn't that hachana? I'm not using it for Shabbos itself. I'm only using it for after Shabbos. Still, the Gemara assumes that's not a problem at all because I'm trying to prevent a hefsid from occurring. And this is something that comes up in a number of places as well. And based on that, Rav Asher Weiss once told me that's why, one of the reasons why, there's a great argument that he made toward why you're allowed to use the, let's say a woman has a baby on Shabbos, and she wants to save, what do you call that, the blood, the umbilical cord blood? The cord blood. So the woman wants to put that in a blood bank, and that's considered to be very healthy blood, and that's very important for people later on. It's expensive to save it, but many people try their best to do that. So Rabbi Asher Weiss was asked, what's the halacha on Shabbos? Are you allowed to have, if a woman has a baby on Shabbos, is she allowed to ask that cord blood should be saved? Or do you say, no, there's so much malacha involved and there's no immediate pikuach nefesh. Maybe in 30 years from now they're going to take it out of the bank and use it for something, but you don't really see in the foreseeable future any kind of pikuach nefesh. Should that be allowed or not? So one of the issues was, it's achana, because I'm not really using it for any purposes of Shabbos right now. I'm using it for something down the line, which is not going to be on Shabbos. So that's the question. So Rav Asher Weiss made the comment that this is 10 times worse than milk not going in the refrigerator. If you're afraid about the bottle of milk getting spoiled over here, if I don't take the opportunity to make sure I save the blood right now, I'm going to be mopsed everything. I'm going to lose the whole thing. So again, there might be halachas involved that you have to get around. But as far as hachana itself goes, that would not pose a problem at all because we would assume that this is saving it from a pseida. It's saving it from a makam hefsid, and therefore that would not be an issue at all. There is a very surprising discussion in the Shmirah Shabbos Kolchasa. I was so surprised when I saw it, and I don't think it's correct at all. Again, who am I to disagree with him? I don't know. But if you look in Shulchan Aruch and other cases, it doesn't seem that this is in line with what the Shmirah Shabbos Kolchasa writes. So the Shmirah Shabbos Kolchasa writes, I don't believe that he says it in the name of Reb Shlomo Zalman. I think he says it on his own. I don't know. I have to check it up again. But he writes a case that when a person comes into shul on Matzoi Shabbos, so you come in, let's say, late Shabbos afternoon, and you want to, you're not going to learn. You're just sitting down. Let's say the rabbi is going to give a shiur, you know, 15 minutes before Maariv. So you're going to come, listen to the Pirkei Avos shiur, and you're going to want to daven Maariv after that. So says the Shmirah Shabbos Kolchasa, what's the normal course of events when we come into shul 15 minutes before Maariv? You go to the back of the shul, you get a sitter, and you walk to your seat. That's Hachana, he writes. Because you're not using the sitter for now. You're not using the sitter to say Tehillim until Maariv. You're using the sitter once it's Matzoi Shabbos, once you say Baruch Hu. So he says, the Shmirah Shabbos Kolchasa writes, he thinks that would pose an issue of Hachana on Shabbos, because the only reason I'm picking up the sitter at the back of the shul is because I want to use it for a purpose of Matzoi Shabbos. I don't want to use it for right now. So that's a very surprising comment. It's surprising because the Shulchan Aruch himself writes that when we have Bein Hashmashos, when you're talking about the time of Shabbos, which is Bein Hashmashos, the Shulchan Aruch writes, we don't have any Yisurim D'Rabbanan that apply during Bein Hashmashos. And therefore, the Shulchan Aruch writes, let's say a person forgot to be Mafresh Challah, and now they realize Bein Hashmashos, oh yeah, it wasn't Mafresh Challah, so it says, if you want to eat the Challahs on Shabbos, you're allowed to be Mafresh Challah Bein Hashmashos, because that's only Nisa D'Rabbanan. And we have many examples of that, but the Shulchan Aruch says clearly that when it comes to Bein Hashmashos, we don't have any prohibition of Yisurim D'Rabbanan. This is clearly only Nisa D'Rabbanan. Not sure why the Shmirah Shabbos Kolchasa would write that this would be prohibited. Unless you say that the only time the Shulchan Aruch says that Bein Hashmashos is permissible to do Yisurim D'Rabbanan is at the beginning of Shabbos, because you have a suffix, maybe it's not yet Shabbos. But over here, at the end of Shabbos, maybe that should be different. That's a big shad in the Magen Avram, or Hashulchan, the Bir Alecha. It seems normally that we're Mekel. So over here, I'm not sure why the Shmirah Shabbos Kolchasa was Machmir, and I would venture to say that I think he's mistaken. I think he's not correct. Rabbi Akiva Eiger and all the Gedolei Achronim assume that Bein Hashmashos we would allow a person to do a Issur D'Rabbanan even at the end of Shabbos. So I don't know. That psak is very questionable. So now let's get to the story about Megillah on Shabbos. So we had the people who asked this week. I see we only have 2 minutes left. Not enough time to talk about it, but we'll try to make it enough time. Many people asked, what about bringing your Megillah to shul on Shabbos afternoon? Now, why you bring the Megillah to shul on Shabbos afternoon? Not because you want the Megillah now, but because you want to use it after Shabbos. So that's clearly a violation of the Yisr HaChana. That's no Shaila at all. That's certainly not permissible. What if I want to try to get around the problem and say, I'll read from the Megillah a little bit on Shabbos afternoon. I'm not just going to sit there. I'm not going to violate the Yisr HaChana. I'll read from the Megillah. So this is a big discussion in the Achronim. Should we assume that that's a violation of HaChana? Or do you say, because really my primary concern here is that I should have it for Matzoi Shabbos when we're going to lay in the Megillah right after Maariv, right after we finish davening. Or do you say no? The same way one is allowed to learn Torah, one of the bar mitzvah boys is allowed to practice his parsha, and I'm allowed to prepare my shir, and you're allowed to do whatever you're doing, and everyone's allowed to learn Torah on Shabbos for their Gemara final on Sunday. So too I'm allowed to go ahead and bring my Megillah to shul, and go ahead and read from it a few psukim, that's good enough. So my father told me, when I spoke to him about it, he said, again, it depends what kind of person you are. If you're the kind of person that would never pick up a sefer on a Shabbos and learn anything, you would never pick up a sitter and open a Pirkei Avos if you had 5 extra minutes, then this is just a joke. You bring the Megillah to shul, you say, let me chop 5 psukim here and make pretend like I'm learning. You're not the kind of person that would ever learn. So my father said that in a case like that, he thinks, one would not be able to bring the Megillah to shul on Shabbos, even if you're going to read from it on Shabbos afternoon, because we know that's just a harama, that's just a joke. But you're the kind of person that does learn on Shabbos. You're the kind of person, if somebody passed you reading a Pirkei Avos, it's not so strange, it's not so unusual. If somebody looks at you and sees that you're reading from Megillah, okay, very nice, you're learning Torah, nothing strange about that. Nobody would ask any questions. So in a case like that, my father agreed that maybe that's the only way it would be permissible. It depends what kind of person you are. But there's another issue that this Dechemed raises when he talks about Mareches HaPurim, so he has an issue here, which I didn't think of. Mishnah Berurah said, the Dechemed raises a case as follows, that even if you say you're going to get around the Hachana issue, says this Dechemed, what about the issue of Muktzah on Shabbos? Shouldn't this be Muktzah? After all, if Purim falls out on Shabbos, what's the Halacha? We don't lay the Megillah on Purim, which falls out on Shabbos. Why? Because like we were just learning the last few weeks, we have Gzeirah Shemi Avirena. We're concerned maybe you're going to carry a Daat Amos B'Shus HaRabim. So this is an item that you're not really allowed to lay on Shabbos. And therefore says the Stechemed, maybe you should think about the issue that maybe your klaf, maybe this Megillas Esther is going to be muktza, because after all, if Purim fell out on Shabbos, you wouldn't be allowed to handle this, you wouldn't be allowed to touch it, because you're not allowed to lay from the Megillah on Purim Shechalias B'Shabbos. On the other hand, says the Stechemed, maybe that's only on a Shabbos, when Purim falls out on Shabbos, on a year when Purim falls out on Shabbos, so then we say it's muktza and it's usher because we don't want you to violate the din. But let's say a regular Shabbos of the year. Let's say Shabbos Parshas Shmini. I decide, you know what, I have such a beautiful Megillah, I want to show it to my kids. I want to read it at the table, I want to enjoy it, I want to have a great time looking at it and admiring all the beautiful artwork on the Megillah. Of course you're allowed to touch the Megillah. It's not muktzah on a regular Shabbos, it's only muktzah on that Shabbos and Purim is Chalias B'Shabbos. So says the Stechemed, what would you say of a year? Let's say this year. Purim is not Chalias B'Shabbos, right? What day is going to be Purim? Matzoi Shabbos, Sunday. The only reason why we push up Tainus Esther is because you can't fast on Shabbos, so we push it up to Thursday. But Shabbos per se is not Purim. So really, maybe, says the Techemet, there's no Isser of Muktzah at all because today is not Purim. This is like any other Shabbos of the year where I would be allowed to handle my Megillah. Or do you say, no, the Megillah is considered to be a Dvar Muktzah because the only reason why I'm handling it now is because tonight is going to be Purim. And it's a very fascinating issue. It's an interesting Shaila to discuss about even if you say you get around the problem of Achana, and even if you get around the problem of not having an Eruv, of figuring out how you're going to get your Megillah to Shul, maybe we should assume that it's going to be Muktza anyway, because after all, if Purim would fall out on Shabbos itself, we would not be allowed to handle the Megillah because we would not be allowed to read the Megillah. So maybe we should assume that it would be considered to be Muktza. Mirtz Hashem, next week, we will...